You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast where it's a busy old day. We've got no fewer than six meetings to look forward to on Monday. We start with jumping at Newton Abbott and Hexham, and then there's a card on the level in the afternoon at Pontefract as well. And into the evening, National Hunt fixture from Huntingdon. We've got Windsor on the flat and an Irish card from Dundalk as well. You can hear it all live from 1:40pm with Gordon Brown, Kevin O'Malley and John Budden on Monday afternoon. But first of all, joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the podcast is James Millman. How are you, James?
Very well, thank you, Sam.
Good. Enjoying the racing lately? It's been a decent start to the season for Team Millman.
Yeah, we had a nice winner at Windsor. We've had four winners, I think, for the year already. Obviously, the very, very soft ground isn't ideal. But, we've had a reasonably good start to the season and long may it continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's discuss some of Saturday's action, though, James. We, of course, had Scottish Grand National Day up at Ayr, and we also had the moved Greenham fixture, which has moved to Chelmsford from Newbury. We'll get onto that in a little bit, but we'll start with the action at Ayr. Paul Nicholls landed the big race of the day, the Scottish Grand National with Vicente, and that was one of four winners on the day for Paul Nicholls. A much-needed boost for him. I think it was 1-10 for William Mullins to win the trainer's title prior to racing on Saturday, but those four winners have put Nicholls back in front.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise, because generally the consensus was probably Paul's lost the title as they went into the final couple of weeks after the National. But Vicente was a massively important winner, £120,000, which he secured for Paul, was basically putting him right back into it. And we're set for a really exciting final week, because obviously William Mullins will be bringing over a lot more to England than what he would have done originally. And Paul's obviously got loads of horses ready to run, and will be very, very keen to keep the title. He'll be desperate to keep the title, really, as he's won it 9 in the last 10 years. And I think it hurt him personally massively if he does get beat. But he certainly couldn't have done any harm last week. And four winners at Ayr was a really, really good achievement. And obviously there's some massive prize money up there. So to be 20 grand in front, I think it is, as he goes into the final week, is good to see.
It's fascinating having a look at some of Willie Mullins' entries, though, James. Myself and Luke Elder were having a little look through them earlier. We knew that he'd be sending a raiding party to Perth. We knew that he was going to send some to Sandown, but he's got entries in novice hurdles at Taunton for a couple of grand. He's got entries at Warwick. He certainly isn't taking the trainer's title lightly. He wants to win it and take it back to Ireland.
Exactly, and this is probably the best chance he's ever going to get of doing it, unless he has more horses over here more regularly. But it's going to be fascinating. But again, Paul, it's going to have a very similar type of horse in that grade, because there's not too many more big races. Obviously, the finale on Saturday, they have a big chunk of prize money in the old Whitbread, whichever branded name it is now. Yeah. But that's probably going to be key. But none of them have really got a strong, massive fancy in that, and a handicap chase, which generally is a stronger Paul Nicholls domain than what Willie Mullins is. Under Sir, you'd imagine he's going to have to come over on Saturday, take on Sprinter Sacra. And it'll be a fascinating conclusion to the season. Sundown's going to have a great finale again. Just like last year when they had AP McCoy having his final ride, this year they've got a proper championship showdown between the trainers.
Yeah, I almost feel a little bit sorry for Richard Johnson. He's waited so long for this maiden jockey's title, and all the focus will be on the trainers' championship on that day.
Yeah, to be fair, I think that everyone in the industry knew how good Richard Johnson was beforehand, and everyone's congratulated him. The thing is with Richard is that he's won a championship probably back in December, really. There's not been a fight as such at all. So everybody's really been congratulating him from a long way in the past. And like I say, it's a little bit unfortunate for him, but I think for racing as a whole, it's great that we've got a proper battle going into the final week.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Really exciting stuff. Let's move on to matters on the flat then, James. Unfortunately, we lost both days of Newbury's Greenham fixture. The switch was made. They moved it to the artificial surface at Chelmsford City. First things first, James, I suppose we have to congratulate the BHA for a little bit of forward thinking, which they're sometimes accused of not being able to do. They managed to get the meeting on, managed to get it switched to Chelmsford. And that has to be applauded, I suppose. It wasn't organised in the finest of manner.
It was a bit difficult. Like, obviously, we had a runner that was entered at Newbury on Saturday, and we had no intention of running because the ground was too heavy. So the old man, I think, had a quiet Friday afternoon, and nobody told him at all that the meeting was being rescheduled. And
really?
We obviously had a horse entered until 25 past three. So I just saw on social media that it had been switched at about 1:30, so I let him know. But he tried to contact BHA. There was no one he could speak to. It wasn't perhaps done the best, but like I say, cracking effort to put the meeting on because it was very, very much short notice, and I think that was a massive help from Chelmsford. It was a good opportunity for them to get some group races and a bit of Channel 4 TV coverage, so it obviously worked very well for them. But like I say, I think the BHA perhaps, I think it was all a bit of a surprise, but it wasn't the best organised because we couldn't actually declare the horses until 10 minutes before declarations closed. Yeah. So you had no idea really how many runners were going to be in the races. We couldn't contact our owner to say that we'd like to run because this hadn't even been suggested until the afternoon. So it was very much a rush job. But like I say, a cracking effort to get it on, and it was good to see.
Would they have maybe been better waiting for the Sunday to give a full day for people to get their houses in order and stuff?
The problem was, obviously, there's an Arab meeting on the Sunday at Chelmsford today,
right, course,
so that ruled that one out. And I think they were the only track that were prepared to put it on at such short notice. So circumstances, obviously, with the 2,000 guineas, 1,000 guineas trials, it had to really be Saturday or not at all, because obviously it's only 2 weeks away, the big race themselves. So I can see exactly why the circumstances meant, and we had some really good races. Obviously, the John Porter is a likely starting point for a lot of the older horses, and it was great that they managed to get the meetings on.
Yeah, certainly was. In terms of the action and the horses on display, we had a treble on the day for Ryan Moore. Paul Hannigan rode a double, and we saw some potentially nice types there, particularly Tasley, to won the Greenham, albeit he only had two rivals to beat in the end and went off 4-7. He looks like a nice prospect for Willie Haggis.
Yeah, certainly. Short head between Tazzle and Knife Edge, a cracking battle between the two of them up the straight. Look at Ireland was very disappointing on his first run back, and it was good to see such a close battle, but realistically, you wouldn't think that neither would be good enough for 2,000 guineas. Even Knife Edge, I think he's heading for the German version. So as for a trial wise, Greenham nowhere near as strong as what it was in recent years, but it was good to see it on. Probably the fillies was a little bit more competitive, like strength and depth wise, but again, Marenko, a horse that had a win on the all-weather at Kempton, is probably music to her ears that was switched to an all-weather surface, and she managed to follow up in great free company. But again, you wouldn't think that it would have much impact on the 1,000 guineas.
Anyone on your mind for the Classics, James? Of course, we're not too far away at all now.
Yeah, to be honest, I think probably two horses that we haven't seen this week have probably cemented their prospects, minding in the 1,000 guineas, and obviously Air Force One in the 2,000. Just because we haven't seen them, we've had no reason to think they're not in top shape from their respective stables. Obviously, we had a lot of racecourse gallops this week at Newmarket in particular. I wasn't particularly impressed with Emotionless when he galloped at Newmarket, but obviously Connections, they seemed happy enough, and we don't know what weights they had or what was expected. So it was frustrating. I say Mark Johnson took a couple, Luminaire and Berrettina, they both galloped, I think. And I'd say you'd like to see him in a trial, really, rather than shutting their stuff in a private racehorse gallop where we don't really know what's happening. So that was frustrating because, like I say, in the end, the two trials yesterday at Chelmsford, even though they were obviously switching off a surface and totally different conditions to what they'll be at Newmarket in 2 weeks' time, we've not really learnt enough for the future, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I suppose it's almost a tip in itself, the fact that Aidan O'Brien has come out and pretty much said that Air Force Blue is going to be our sole representative in 2,000 guineas.
It's very rare, isn't it?
A race that he normally has two or three darts at least.
Yep. And a race where sometimes the second or third string can come in on top. So I think the fact that he's the only one, he must be a fair way ahead of everything else they've got in the race, and will be very, very hard to beat.
Yes, certainly will. Let's move on now, James, to look at some action on Monday. We've got four races to come on this edition of the podcast. Pontefract, Hexham and Windsor are on the agenda. We start with this race at Pontefract, though. This is their 3:10, a 6-furlong handicap for us here. 12 runners down to contest this. A good bit of prize money on, James, and an interesting field has assembled.
Yeah, competitive event, 20 grand, as you'd imagine, for this 6-furlong sprint. But a draw is crucial around Pontefract, and generally those that have been drawn right on the rail have had a massive advantage. So you won't really be looking at low numbers, even though obviously they're racing around a left-hand bend, so it's obviously advantageous to be on the inside. They seem to be right on that rail. The ground is massive advantage. So the ones to concentrate perhaps on are Related, who was a good fourth on his first run for Paul Midgley back 23 days ago. And he's got the plum draw in store one, a very, very useful individual. He could just be sweetened up by the switch to Paul Midgley, who does extremely well with sprinters, as we've seen last year when he won the Dash with Monsieur Joe. I think Related's going to be very, very hard to beat. So he'll be the selection from stall one. A race where most of these haven't actually really been in action on the weather in the winter. So a lot of these either had a run at Doncaster or having their first run of the season. So it's not easy to know exactly who's going to be fit enough. But another one that's drawn reasonably low is Samantha Bell's ride, Beardwood, who is drawn three. I think he could be pretty interesting for Richard Fye if he's fit enough to do himself justice first time out, because he's got a course and distance win next to his name, which is always a bonus around the pretty unique undulations at Pontefract. And he could be the dangerous selection, but I think Related will be very, very hard to beat, and perhaps Beardwood can follow him home.
Related then, the one for James, then Paul Midgley and Martin Lane teaming up with that one in the Pontefract 310. We go to Hexham now for their 330, a bit of jumping action for us to look at here with a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. Dead eight runners line up for this one at the time of recording, so a possible each way play for this race. What's on your mind for this one?
Yeah, 11 grand handicap at Hexham, nice bit of prize money there, and it's been rewarded with a pretty competitive field with a multiple winner Beyond Temptation. He had a four in a row before getting beat last time out. He's obviously going to be pretty dangerous under his young rider, Thomas Dawson. But just a slight concern is he could be a little bit high in the handicap now on the back of that final victory. So I'm going to go for the lightly raced Kid Valentine, who won pretty nicely last time out for Michael Smith. Danny Cook takes a ride, and I just think he's unexposed compared to quite a few of these. He won at Hexham last time out, so he's got course form. I'd say he could be unexposed and could improve past his marker 120. So Kid Valentine will be the selection in a competitive enough handicap hurdle here at Hexham. Millie Ballou has been very, very consistent for Tim Easterby, but again, just lacks a scope of a couple of these, and I think she might be placed once again. So Kid Valentine, the selection for Michael Smith and Danny Cook.
James going for Kid Valentine then in the Hexham 330. We go to Windsor now for a couple of races there. We begin with their 620. This is a 6 furlong handicap sprint. 11 runners are down to contest this one as well. James, what do you like here?
Heavy ground at Windsor tomorrow. It was pretty bad on Monday when I was there last week. So another week with plenty more rain. Obviously Newbury not that far away, being abandoned. It's going to be pretty hard work for these horses. So you do want one that loves a bit of soft ground. But there's not too many in there that you can guarantee will be massively effective on the surface. Obviously, the interesting one is Flowers on Venus. Mm. She's only had two starts so far. One on debut at Wolverhampton, and then second over 5 furlong. Perhaps a little bit too sharp last time on that trip. Extremely unexposed, but the ground, we have no idea whether she'll handle it. But probably the best handicapped horse in the race. So that will be interesting. Ice Lord, another one that's unexposed. He won his maiden very, very nicely when he had a pretty light season last year with only 4 runs. He won well at Salisbury. Has been second on good soft ground when he made his debut back in October. So you know there's a little bit of soft ground form there, but not a lot. And that'll be the concern for him. One that does love the ground is Lynx Drive Lady for Dean Ivory. But she's making a return at 8 years old. Might just need to run a little bit. And Captain Lars, another one that does go well on soft ground. He perhaps is better over 7 furlong or a mile. So it's a question mark against him on the trip. So a race full of question marks. And probably going to go with one that has got a massive question mark with the ground, but Flowers on Venus is unexposed, has been well backed on her 2 starts to date, and I just think she could be much better than Mark. So Flowers on Venus with a selection in the 6:20 at Windsor.
Flowers on Venus then for James for the combination of David Evans and Kathy Gannon. Shropshire Wolves owned that one, of course. We move to the 6:50 now. This is the next race on Windsor's card and the final race on our podcast today. 7 runners line up for a 1.3 furlong handicap here. What do you like in the race?
Yeah, only 7 runners, but a pretty competitive contest. Goldslinger was very useful on the flat last season, winning 4 of his last 5 starts. And he also liked a bit of heavy ground, as he won on soft ground at Bath and Chester. So this ground shouldn't be too much of an issue. And just whether he bounces back from a pretty poor attempt at hurdling, he was well beaten at Wetherby on his last run back in November. But he's on the upgrade. And like you say, he handles the ground, so that's going to be a massive plus for Goldswinger. Starwatch, he loves the track, but the trip could be a little bit far for him on his first run after 196 days. Dolphin Village, one that's been in very, very good form for Jane Chappelheim. Better on the weather, perhaps. Is he going to be as effective on this heavy ground? That's a massive question mark for him, because generally he's raced on pretty quick ground on the flat in the past and hasn't got too much form on a soft surface. So that's got to be a worry with Dolphin Village, despite the fact that he's in good form when he was last seen. Brandon Castle, I thought he'd been disappointing on near weather. Thought he was unexposed and could be better than his mark, but really not shown a lot. To be fair to him, he was second on soft ground at York on his debut, so that could be a massive plus for him, and he has got fitness on his side. So for that reason, Brandon Castle will be the selection, with Goldslinger the main danger for Dean Ivory.
Brandon Castle it is for James then in that 6:50 at Windsor. Let's get a quick recap then, please, James, and remind us of your four selections for the action on Monday.
Yeah, in the 3:10 at Pontefract in the 20 grand sprint, we've gone for drawn one related, draw crucial at Pontefract at the moment, and he made a promising return on stable debut for Paul Midgley. In the 3:30 at Hexham, we've gone for the unexposed and improving Kid Valentine to win on handicap debut for Marker 120. In the 6:20 at Windsor, ground again a very much a concern there at Windsor, but we've gone for Flowers on Venus, only two starts to date, unexposed, and if she handles the ground, we've got a great chance. And then finally, in the 6:50 at Windsor, we've gone for Brandon Castle, hoping turf will get him back into life.
Thank you very much. There we are, the thoughts of James Millman ahead of the action on Monday. Thanks for that, James. Enjoy the racing and best of luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you.
And remember, you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. on Monday afternoon with Gordon Brown, Kevin O'Malley and John Budden guiding you through the cards at Newton Abbott, Hexham, Pontefract, Huntingdon, Windsor and Dundalk. Best of luck if you are having a bet on Monday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.